Well, can you believe it? It's been over 10 years since we were attending here already. Thank you. I might need it. No, we were attending here. There's a lot of new faces and all these young people. What a wonderful thing you got going. So, I was pastoring for 8 years up at Excellent Mennonite Church, and then since then we've been attending the Radisson Eby Free Church because that's close by where we live. But it's such a pleasure to be back here amongst you folks again. We have some wonderful memories from when we went here. So, I want to start by saying don't believe a thing I say this morning. Just go back to the Word and check it out and make sure that what I'm saying is right. I believe in my heart that what I'm saying is right, but you need to know for yourself. You can get someone to tell you all kinds of things, but you want to believe what someone tells you lines up with Scripture. So do that. The way I'm going to do it this morning, and I think some guys are going to hand out some notes, the way I like to do it is more of a teaching way of doing it, and I like to, people to have notes, and hopefully you got pens along. You can make notes if you want to, but take these notes home and make use of them. Study them and make sure that what I said is right, and hopefully it can help you gain in knowledge. I'm going to be talking about life in the Holy Spirit, and an exciting Christian life takes the Holy Spirit being a part of your life, and it's been exciting for me, and the more I've studied and learned how the Holy Spirit has an effect on who I am as a person and my abilities to accomplish anything of value for the kingdom of God, it definitely is all based on the Holy Spirit who lives within us. As believers, we all have the Holy Spirit in us. I believe Billy Graham is correct when he said of the Holy Spirit, quote, "The Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us," unquote. If you want to understand Scripture, let the Holy Spirit guide you in your understanding. The Lord did an amazing thing when he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. The disciples had Jesus there with them in person, but we have the Holy Spirit 24/7 right inside of us to be our guide. And we as kingdom citizens, we're all part of the kingdom of God as believers. We need the Holy Spirit to guide our lives so that we can be effective, so that we can honor the Lord in what we do, we can be in his will, and we can be effective in the ministry he's called us to. Whatever situation you're going through today, the Lord will help you with it, and the Holy Spirit gives you strength to get through no matter what you're going through. He gives you wisdom and understanding, ability to carry out what you see the Lord is drawing you to and sending you out to be as a minister, because we're all ministering the love of Jesus wherever we go as believers, or at least that's our job. We don't always do that perfectly, but God wants to use us, and that's the Holy Spirit that enables us. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person in the Trinity, the Godhead, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and he's working to accomplish God's will in us as believers and enabling us to become exactly what he created us to be. He had a plan for you before you were even born, and he wants to work that plan out, and the Holy Spirit is the power behind the plan that God gives you. We have this unique thing of God himself in spirit form living in us. It's an amazing thing. In Romans 8, verses 9 and 10, the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8, verses 9 and 10. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if the Spirit is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to bring us into abundant life. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. And any righteousness that we can have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ in us being lived out because of the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And Jesus said of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, And when he, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So concerning sin, it's to bring conviction. And every one of us, the first encounter we had with the Holy Spirit was when he started convicting us of sin in our lives and started making us aware of the need we had spiritually, that we needed something different to happen, that we were in trouble because of the sin we had. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ provides salvation for us, in that he took the sin of the world, every one of us, sins included, and died on the cross for those sins. And then when he rose again in victory over sin and death, after spending a little time on the earth, he went back to heaven, and that's when he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us as believers. So this conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit is what prompted us to accept salvation in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And what a gift it is. We think about the gift of salvation, and that's a wonderful gift, but to live it out, to live this faith that we have out, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And what a gift that is, to revive us, to give us true life, and to make us effective in our walk with the Lord and in our ministry outreach that God calls us to. The Holy Spirit also makes us sensitive to spiritual things. He brings about an awareness of spiritual things that we wouldn't have without him. And the truth behind the scriptures that we read, we all have access to the scriptures. Praise the Lord, this country hasn't taken our Bibles away from us yet. We have these truths. Let's take advantage of it. And as we look into the Word of God daily, the Spirit gives us understanding. And what's so neat to me about the Holy Spirit is that it doesn't matter what level of understanding spiritually the Lord takes me to, there's something new for me. I can read the same scripture again and again, and the Spirit brings and reveals new things to me. And I'm sure that's the same for all of you. And that's happening because the Holy Spirit's at work. He's transforming our hearts by the renewing of our minds. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so he's changing our hearts, changing our desires, changing the intents of what we want to do to bring honor and glory back to the Lord, to the Father, where it belongs. Another work of the Holy Spirit is when he fills us or baptizes people with the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to say it. In Acts 2, it's the story of when the Holy Spirit first came upon all the believers, and we know they were gathered together and they were praying and waiting for the Spirit, for this gift that Jesus had promised. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." What an amazing thing that would have been to be there at that first time, to hear that sound of rushing wind and to see the evidence of the Spirit in everybody around you as the tongues of fire were above them. I just think that would have been so cool to see. And unfortunately, we don't get to see that today, but we do see within each other the evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit. We can see that as lives are changed, as you know, you don't just stay in the same place, you become a Christian and that's it. You are to mature in your walk, and that is evident over time that the Holy Spirit is doing his work. So we do see evidence, just not quite the same as that first time when the Holy Spirit appeared. But he's available to all of us. He fills us when we become believers. He fills us, he empowers us, he's enabling us and helping us to live a holy life. But prayer is the key. I believe that as we go through life and we want to be used by the Holy Spirit's power, we have to avail ourselves of that. We have to have a desire for it and seek it. We can kind of just go along, but the Holy Spirit wants to draw us closer to the Lord. He wants to give us an exciting life and make it powerful in us. And so whether you feel depleted or needing strength or whatever, and I think we all go through those times where we kind of spiritually have a little bit of a low, when we seek the Lord, He is there for us. And it's just so exciting how He lives out this promise of being everything we need for Him, no matter what we're going through. Things happen as you go through life. There are challenges, there are situations that happen, and your thinking changes as you come closer to the Lord, as He takes you through different things, and as He shows you things within you that need to be changed. As you get rid of selfishness, as you get rid of fears or worry or whatever else you might deal with, you allow the Spirit of God to help you get those things out, and then He fills that place where there might have been doubt, where there might have been fear. And we see this in Acts, and another, I put in your notes to for homework to read Acts 3 and 4. It's just an exciting story. There's the healing of the guy that was lame, I think it was, for a long period of time, and he was healed, and then the officials came and brought the disciples in and challenged what they were doing, and they just kind of let the Spirit take over, and they were bold and sharing about the Lord, and then they got arrested for this, and they were taken in, held overnight. They were threatened, don't do this anymore, we're going to let you go this time, but just don't be spreading this stuff about Jesus. And they decided, okay, we're going to get together, we're going to pray about this. And well, they also told them, well, we have to either listen to God or man, we're going to listen to God. We're going to do what He calls us to do. But they didn't just say, oh, we can do it. They went together and gathered together the believers. Peter and John and their companions went to prayer after this and asked the Lord to guide them. They sought for more boldness to continue sharing. And I look at how they were sharing before this. They were being bold, but they didn't want to lose that. And if they would have let fear or worry about what might happen take hold, then they would have lost their boldness. And I want to read Acts 4, verses 29 to 31. And this is part of their prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So they were renewed again. They were refilled. They got rid of those worries. They got rid of those doubts, and the Spirit of God filled them right back up to full and overflowing. And as you live for the Lord, pray that God will make you a vessel that has the Holy Spirit being poured into it so it overflows. It's when your body is overflowing, when your life is overflowing with the Spirit, that it goes out and touches others' lives around you. If you're only part full because you're hesitant or backing away or letting the fears or things of this world get in the way, you're not as used of the Holy Spirit as if you are letting Him just fill you so much that it's overflowing. So the disciples had this attitude, okay, we're not going to be victims in this situation whose rights have been trampled on. We're not going to let fear or doubts hurt us. We're going to go forward by praying and getting revived and getting empowered to continue with whatever God calls us to do. So there was no pride in the way, no fear, nothing that would get in the way of the ministry continuing. They were in prayer, being ready for the Holy Spirit's working in their lives. And we, like the disciples, have that need to be empowered by the Spirit so that we can be effective and bold witnesses. In John 15, 26, Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me." I think sometimes we get a little bit afraid to be witnessing because of what others might think. But when we're empowered and emboldened by the Spirit, it just becomes a natural thing. We want to share about what the Holy Spirit, what God, what Jesus the Son has done The work that is being done spiritually, we want to share that with others, and it becomes a natural thing. So I'm going to just lightly touch on 9 different areas that the Holy Spirit works in us. And the first one is that he is our helper. And I mentioned that a little bit already, but in John 16, verse 7, Jesus again says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So he's sending this helper to be with the disciples. And Jesus was saying, it's of more value for me to leave you so that I can send the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have this wonderful relationship. We like to be together. We like to have this communion between each other, this relationship we've developed. It's wonderful and exciting, but there's something better. And when the Holy Spirit came, the Spirit of Jesus himself then filled them, he is able to do work in and through every believer, no matter where they're at, no matter what's going on. Where Jesus, in his limitation, as even though he was God, he was limited in the body of a human being, he couldn't be everywhere with everyone who is a believer at all times. So we have this wonderful gift that came to be our helper, to empower us to live a fruitful and effective Christian life for that brings God's love to others, that shares that truth of who God is and what he can do for people. And so as long as we're in this world as kingdom citizens, we need this divine help that the Spirit gives to us. We also have this thing within us, the old man that rises up, the selfishness, the impatience, the problems that we have from being a human being that's still on this earth. And the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome that, the temptations that go along with that, the pride that rises up and says, well, I deserve this, that's out of God's will, or whatever it is that any of us struggle with, and the Spirit is there to help us over that. And if we're feeling powerless or tired, if we're feeling like we're failing at life, no matter what's going on, we can go forward with confidence as we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. He's there to help us. He gives us the power to sustain us and energize us and keep us on a holy path. It is a straight and narrow path, and it takes concentration to stay there, but the Spirit helps us. And I like to think that if we can pray a prayer to start our day every day, something like from the hymn, Spirit of the Living God. So if you start your day praying, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me today. Melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me. May you do that in me today. Then we're setting up ourselves to have a victorious day because the Spirit's guiding everything we do. And the Spirit sanctifies us. We until we came to Christ, we were definitely needing cleaning up, and we still fail at times. And the Holy Spirit cleanses us, and makes us able to be with the Lord one-on-one. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." I had never thought about it until I was studying this time, and I've read through the Bible every year for I don't know how many years, but it just hit me that it's the cleansing that happens in us is by the Spirit of God. It says so right there. Allowing the Spirit of God to do this cleansing. And sanctified, we're sanctified by the Spirit, and that means to be set apart, sacred. Did you know that? You're set apart as a sacred vessel for the use in the kingdom's work to be done. God has a plan for you. He specifically sanctified and set you apart for his plans, for his work. And so we're continually growing and leaving this old man behind and taking on the new person, making the new person empowered by the Spirit of God to be the main thing that's happening in our life. So don't give up. It's a daily refining process. And if you feel like you've failed too often, just take it from today. Don't worry about the past. The past is done and gone. You're not going to change it, but you can be what God wants you to be today and in the future. And I think we need to pray for the desire to be pure in the Lord and being used of him. I think the desire to be totally guided by the Holy Spirit comes when we start praying for the desire. I think to a certain point he puts a desire in us, but I think we have to be seeking it. It takes effort. It takes saying, I want this. there's something so good, so valuable, so wonderful for me, and I want it, that I'm going to take time to pray for it, to seek it. And as you pray for a desire, your desire will increase. I know this from personal experience. And as you experience Him more, it builds on itself. Life becomes more exciting. What He's doing in you, you see it happening and you go, wow, that could never happen on my own. And you know it's the Spirit who's cleansing you and making you fit for the work that God called you to. And He's accomplishing things in you that you could never do on your own. There are people that live amazingly good lives that aren't even Christians, but it's all on their own. And there's a point where it fails. Anything that's done in God's will by the power of the Spirit does not fail. Sometimes we look at it from our limited human understanding and don't understand why something went the way it did, but all things do work together for those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. So allow the Lord to sanctify and cleanse you, and that makes you more Christ-like. That's point number three that the Spirit does in you. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, And we, all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the Lord is taking you from where you're at today to a new level in the spiritual realm as a kingdom citizen. And when you arrive there, He's got something better for you. And we have to go through this level to get to the next one. And it just continues building. There's a new step, a new place to go. And we think about how Moses had been on the mountain with God for 40 days. And he came down and his face was shining with the light that came from being right beside God for 40 days. But think about this. The Holy Spirit dwells in you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 7 days a week and 365 days a year. Every moment of every day, the Holy Spirit is in you. You should be able to have a face that shines the love of God out because of the Spirit being in you. Just like Moses reflected the glory. And I can see that in people's eyes. You can see when there's a deadness, someone who's never accepted Jesus as their Savior. And you can see someone who's alive in the Spirit, working and living for Him. You can see something there that isn't in someone else's life or in their face. And so our goal is to be Christ-like. So this is being Christ-like. When the Spirit guides us into a look like that, a face that shines His glory, that's the Spirit leading us and shining out of us. You may or may not have heard of theologian Warren Wiersbe. He writes this. Quote, Moses reflected the glory of God, but you and I may radiate the glory of God. When we meditate on God's word and see it in God's Son, then the Spirit transforms us. We become more like the Lord Jesus Christ as we grow from glory to glory. So that song that we sing sometimes, maybe you sing it here, from glory to glory, He's changing me. That's one level of spiritual understanding and truth that is being able to be revealed you to the next. As you grow, you're able to understand more spiritual truth, and He continues to take us from one level to the next. And then number four, the Holy Spirit helps you to do the Father's will. We see an example of that in Acts 8, verses 26 through 29. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise up and go down toward the south to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip is instructed by this angel to go into a desert place. And I was thinking, well, if that was me, you know, I want to live for the Lord. I want to do his work. And he's going to send me out in the desert where there's nobody? Why would he do that? This must just be something that came into my head that isn't to be, because why would I go out there? But what he did was obey. And then as he got there, the Holy Spirit told him to go over and join this chariot. So the Spirit was guiding him, and he did what he was supposed to. He was obedient. And so we need to learn to recognize the Spirit's voice and be obedient to his will. As Philip did this, he had an opportunity to explain some scriptures that this fellow was looking at and didn't understand. He was able to bring him to a saving knowledge through Jesus Christ by understanding who Jesus was, and that he was looking in Isaiah, this eunuch was, and he didn't understand these verses, and they were talking about Jesus. So Philip had the opportunity to share what these verses meant, and this guy became a Christian. Now, I've heard, whether this is true or not, but I've heard that in Christian tradition, it is looked upon that this fellow was probably the start of a large group of believers in northern Africa because of Philip's obedience to go see this guy and explain things to him. The Lord was able to use this Ethiopian eunuch to begin sharing the good news, and a large number of people came to know the Lord through Philip's obedience to talk to the eunuch. And then another just side note, that the Spirit transported him when he was done with his work there. The Spirit transported him immediately to somewhere else. Now, I think that'd be kind of cool sometimes, especially when I'm running short on time, if I could just get transported somewhere. But the Spirit of God is going to do what the Spirit of God wants to, and he directs people to do the will of God. And of course, it takes our obedience, our willingness to go along with it. And so ask the Spirit to translate what the Spirit of God wants to, and he directs people to do the will of God. And of course, it takes our obedience, our willingness to go along with it. And so ask the Spirit to transform any doubts, to transform anything that would push back against what he's trying to call you to do, and allow God's will to be done in your life. I think this is another quote that I heard is so good. Bill Bright was the guy that started Campus Crusade for Christ. And this is a quote from him. Quote, "On another occasion, a student said to me after one of my messages on the Holy Spirit, 'Until I learned how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I had never introduced anyone to Christ. But the very first day I appropriated the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, I led my first person to the Lord. Since then,' he said, 'I have been used by God to introduce hundreds of others to Christ.' He goes on to say, 'How can it be that mere human words can be used by God, that humans can be his partners in changing the lives of men in such a supernatural way?' The answer became clear. When we are filled, controlled, and empowered with the Spirit, Christ will fulfill his promise to do greater things through us, because he is the one who does it, not us." And that's another thing that I've experienced. When I tried to, one time when I was a lot younger, I was thinking, oh, I should try and tell someone about Jesus, and I just did it on my own, my way of thinking, and it was a complete disaster. I have no idea what that guy thought I was trying to do. But when he guides us, one of the most exciting things you will ever do is be involved in leading someone to Jesus Christ, that they come to the saving knowledge of him because you allowed the Holy Spirit to guide you in your words, in your willingness, and you're obedient to live that out. It's an exciting life living in the Spirit. Then the next thing I have is that the Holy Spirit gives you gifts for kingdom citizen living. And don't look around at others and say, well, how's come I don't have that gift, or I don't have this other gift? The Lord has every one of us have specific gifts for a specific reason. If you look throughout your group, different ones of you have different gifts, and that's by God's design. We don't all have the same gift, and every one of you are here for a very specific reason, fulfilling God's plan in this group of believers. And so the gift he has given you is needed in this group, but you don't need to necessarily have the group or the gift that someone else in the group has. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about different gifts in verses 4 through 11, it says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another gift of healings by that one Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles, to another, prophecy, and to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." It's by the will of the Spirit that he gives you the specific gift that he gives you. I think sometimes we look at what God has called us to do, and we make the mistake of thinking that, well, how come this guy isn't doing what God has called me to do? Well, he didn't call that guy to do the same thing he called you to do. So don't criticize what someone else is doing if they have a different gift than you. And another thing that I've seen happen is where people have some confusion about the gifts, and I think there are people that have misused and have preached or taught that you have to do certain things as a believer. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have to do this or that or something else. And so sometimes I think we back away from letting the Spirit do his full work because we don't understand what someone else is doing, or maybe they made a mistake in how they taught it. So don't quench the Spirit in backing away from him because you don't understand by looking at what is going on in someone else's life or in another church. Instead, let all these different gifts do their work in this group to make it the group that God has called it to be. And as an individual, use the gift that he's blessed you with and enables you to use. And then the next one, I think, is probably even more important than the gifts. Maybe not. I mean, I don't want to say one's more important than the other. But the Holy Spirit matures his fruit in you. And this is something that happens over time as you grow in your walk with the Lord. As you achieve one level of glory to the next, you are gaining in maturity in these Spirit fruit. The Spirit fruit is something that you every one of us should have all of these, whereas we don't have necessarily all the gifts. In fact, as far as I know, nobody has ever had all the gifts. I can't say for sure on that. But all of the gifts, all of the fruit of the Spirit, it is who we should become. It is who, if this is what Christ is like. Being Christ-like includes all of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 24. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And the reason I read that verse 24 is because when we don't crucify the passions and desires, the things of this world that get in the way of working for the Lord, of living for the Lord, it really inhibits these fruits from growing. We have to kill ourselves daily, the old man in us, so that the Spirit can do his work and these fruit can become more evident in our lives. So as the Holy Spirit brings about the maturing of these fruits in your life, and as you see things changing within you, you realize this is the Spirit, because I had this problem with impatience, or I had this problem with not being able to control myself, whatever it would be. And the Holy Spirit's tempering that down. It takes time sometimes, but as you continue to be in prayer and allow the Lord to do his work, you find that the inconveniences of life don't bother you so bad, and you're more able to treat others the way you would like to be treated, or you understand that you should treat others, and it doesn't always go that way. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." So as you mature in love, in joy, in peace, Patience. Anybody have trouble with patience at times? Being kind in all situations. That's not always easy. Doing the good things. Being faithful to your walk with the Lord. Gentleness. Can we say we're always gentle with everybody in all situations? Self-control. As all of those things grow and they become more a part of who you are, you'll care less about your own little preferences and realize that God has something bigger that you are involved in as the Spirit does His work in you, growing and maturing these spiritual fruit. And the Holy Spirit gives us hope. And I think that as you go from one level of glory to the next, as you allow these fruits, Spirit fruit, to mature, you have more hope because you see what God has already done with you. And as you look forward, you know there's hope for the future. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." And I like to think of this definition of hope. Hope is a confident expectation of God's will being fulfilled, of God's word being fulfilled. That includes His will. Hope is a confident expectation of God's word being fulfilled. And we don't just say, "Oh, I hope this happens." We can say, "I have a hope that this will happen. I have a confident expectation." So when we think about when this life in this old body of mine is over with, I have a confident expectation that there is something way better because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. He's taking me to a better place. And I will be able to see Jesus face to face. I won't have all these struggles. So you can have this kind of confident hope. But that also changes how you live your life out in your daily activities. And then our hope is strengthened by supernatural knowledge. And the Holy Spirit teaches and gives insight to Christ followers. And so this is number 8. John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So the disciples had confidence that all the things that Jesus had taught to them would come back to them. We can have confidence that as we look at the word of the Lord, as we read it every day, and as we memorize verses, that when we need this information, it will come back to us. I don't know, I imagine most of you have experienced this. You'll be talking to somebody and a verse will just pop into your head, and you're able to maybe not quote it word for word, but the idea of the verse, the truth of Scripture by the Spirit comes to you when you need it, in that you can that you can share that with someone else. John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." So the Holy Spirit is working in you. He's enabling you. He's given you understanding for exactly what you need at the time you need it as you go through this life. But one of the most exciting things to me in this, that the Holy Spirit teaches us different things, is the promise in 1 Corinthians 2:9-13. I just love the poetic way this is said in these verses. "But as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So the Holy Spirit interprets these truths from God's word to us, giving us understanding we would no other way have. Even the thoughts, the depths of the spiritual truths of God himself, because this is God's Spirit within us, giving us these things. So take time to meditate on this verse. If you don't have time to today, sometime soon. And the more you think about what this could mean, the more exciting it gets. Thinking about the Spirit is showing me these kind of deep truths. It's just amazing to me that we have that kind of promise from God for our lives. And then the Spirit guides your prayers. How many of you always know exactly how to pray? I don't. But God, the Spirit guides us in that. And going off of the verse from Romans 8, verse 26, says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." There are times when we pray that I would say, well, probably every time we pray, when we pray a prayer, I don't believe it's perfect until the Spirit gets a hold of it. And I think when we pray a prayer, the Spirit takes that prayer and makes it perfect. So when it rises up to the ears of the Father, it is perfect. It's a perfect prayer. I think we sometimes think, well, I'm just not good at praying. I won't bother. Don't worry about that. Let this promise that the Spirit himself is going to intercede for you. Take your prayers and just keep praying. He teaches us that too. It's another thing that comes with praying over and over again, more and more, that we have better understanding of how to pray. But just knowing that God is going to receive a perfect prayer from an imperfect Jim or an imperfect whoever you are, God takes that, or the Spirit takes that prayer and makes it special, makes it perfect, makes it what it should be. And I also believe, because I've experienced this, that there is a prayer language. And this was just in the last couple of years as I was going through some things and studying, and it was like it hit me, yeah, this can be real. And now I've been, before that, I had been in services where somebody said, you have to speak in tongues if you're a believer, if you've been filled by the Spirit. I don't necessarily agree with that. And I had somebody pray for me, yeah, just start speaking in tongues, just do it. Well, it's a Spirit thing. How can I just do what's a Spirit thing? But I've had it happen numerous times where I'm praying and it just starts happening. You know, this isn't the type of speaking in tongues where someone gets up in a congregation, they speak in tongues and someone else interprets it. That has its place too. But I'm talking about just my time alone with the Lord, that he has blessed me with that. And it's been such a beautiful experience. And I think, because of some of the things I had learned when I was young, I was afraid of it, for one thing. And so don't be afraid of it if that's what God's leading you to. And I'm not saying that every one of you will experience it. It's just one of the gifts that the Spirit has given me, and he has blessed me so much through it. And I believe that he's enabled me to pray for things in a way that I wouldn't have been able to before. So as you think about this and all these other things I've just talked about, this list is by no means comprehensive. The Spirit is always doing things. He's doing wonderful things in you and in I all the time. And this is just enough to hopefully help encourage you in thinking about it, in allowing him to do what he wants to do in you and through you. And I would have a confident expectation that each of you could take this and allow it to lead you to be part of leading you to the next level of glory that God wants to take you to. So continue to desire the Spirit, seek him. And in that, you're seeking a closer relationship with your Father God, who loves you so much beyond what I could even ever attempt to say. And he will guide you. He will take you where he wants you to be in life. He will provide exactly the wisdom and understanding and power you need to live that out, to be the kingdom citizen in this kingdom that we're living in, even here on earth. And he wants to use you. He will use you, and he will bless you greatly in it. You can know that you have holiness, victory, and service that can be accomplished in you through him. And all of it can come back to bring honor and glory and praise to the Father where it's deserved. And for a closing prayer, I want to read from Ephesians. I didn't say for sure which chapter, I think 3. But Ephesians, it's one of Paul's prayers to the people in Ephesus. So this is my prayer to you. For this reason, I bow on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord bless you.